Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Verlin, it's good to see all your family with you. It's like a Thanksgiving full row here. This is fun to see. That's awesome. And your adopted son, Morris Kelsey. That's awesome. Yeah. Hey, if you would you grab your Bibles and flip with me to the book of Luke? If you're using our Pewback Bible here, you'll turn to page 741. This is the week of Thanksgiving that we honor and celebrate in our nation. But this wasn't man's idea. This was definitely God's idea that his people would live with him and before him with grateful and thankful hearts. In Luke chapter 17, we see the story about Jesus and how he was interacting and engaging with people that he had given a pretty awesome gift, a life-changing gift to. And we're going to see how they respond to the giver. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11, it says this. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance. Real quick, leprosy is a disease that's on the outside of the body. It was so bad, and there was no medicine in the day that you had to live outside of the camp. Outside of the village, there was no interaction, so we had to stand from a far distance away. If you were married, you just wouldn't be able to see your spouse. You wouldn't be able to see your children. You couldn't engage in the market. You couldn't go shopping. You couldn't go to church. You couldn't be involved in the everyday society. It was contagious to the touch. If you touched someone else with leprosy, it immediately jumped on you, and now you have got to live outside of the camp. So these are people that are completely expelled and pushed out of society because of the disease that they have. So they stood at a distance and they call out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." As they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except for this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise, go, your faith has made you well." Jesus does a couple things here where he identifies the fact that it was this foreigner, this Samaritan who's different than the chosen Israel, the Jews. It's the outcast. And Jesus constantly is saying the ones that are on the outsiders are the ones that usually he tends to like and he gives preferential treatment to. And so he's walking through Galilee and Samaria. He says he's on the border of both of them. But the one that Jesus wants to tell the story about is a Samaritan, because there was something different in his heart. And he's trying to like provoke the crowd a little bit with gratitude. Is it okay if I provoke the crowd a little bit today? No, you guys aren't Samaritans, but you guys, so we're going to provoke the crowd a little bit and just say perhaps there's a little bit more that we could do in response to Jesus for all of the awesome breakthroughs that he's done in our lives. And so he begins to kind of, we see what is happening here. Jesus says, "Hey, I didn't see after everybody left. On their way, they were being healed. Were they not all healed? Like, surely they would have come back to worship. Surely they would have come back to say thank you. Surely they would have sent me a gift card. Surely, I mean, something, a little note of appreciation. Like, we're obviously they weren't all healed, right? Because the response that I'm expecting was that they would be at my feet worshiping. There was an expectation. Jesus, he actually was caught off guard that they weren't worshiping. He's like, what? Surely they weren't all healed because they would be here with you, right? And I almost can feel as I'm reading these words just a little disappointment. He's like, well, go. Your faith has made you well, and kind of just sends them on the way. You know, I'll tell you, the lack of gratitude can shut down the heart of the giver quickly. There's a time whenever we took the kids and we all went to Six Flags. And whenever we're at Six Flags, it's $50 to get in for every single one of us. And we're riding the rides and we're buying the ice cream and you're buying the sandwich and you're getting all the other stuff. By the time the day's over, you're in deep. It's like, golly. And then as we're leaving, we're like, and one of the kids were like, hey, I want to go to this gift store and I want to buy the little thing with the bubbles and I want to blow the bubbles. We're like, no, we're not going to buy the bubbles. And so let's go. And we're like, no, I want them. And we're crying and we're whining. I want the shirt and I want this. And we end up walking out of what was a great day. Everyone's getting spanked and we're all crying, throwing them in the car. And it's like a really long, like 3.5 hour drive home. It's like, this was a bad idea. Like, who thought that this was a good move? And isn't it something that you can have a blessing? You can have a really cool moment, but it wasn't enough. I want more. And unless I get more, I'm just going to whine and cry about it. I'm going to be a bummer. And you know what happened to the heart of the giver? The heart of the giver was like, let's go, let's party. My heart's wide open. Let's have a great day. You don't like it. This is not fun. You're getting a spanking. Hey, everybody's going to bed. My heart is shut off. We're never doing this again. Fascinating. All within just in a few hours, the response that comes back to the giver, man, it begins to shift some things. It's interesting how we respond. And I see that there's this response that we see here in Scripture, and almost, don't want to read what's not there, but I almost can kind of feel a little sense of Jesus. I believe that there's two types of people that struggle with Thanksgiving. People that have had really hard lives, and people that have been really blessed. Isn't that interesting? Both of them. There's this movement of, man, life has been hard, and there's really nobody to say thank you to because I always get the short end of the stick. Or, man, life has just been, you know, always just so good. Like, man, I was born on third base, and it was just awesome. I'm about to score all the time. It's just like great, 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 great. But we don't live necessarily with gratitude in our hearts. We live with this other little thing that goes on inside of us. And I'll tell you, there was a survey that was done on this generation, the Zoomers, okay, Generation Z. And what came back, they said that there's one main word, it's an E-letter word that defines this generation. Guess what it is? And all the Zoomers were like, enthusiastic, energy. And they go, no, it's entitled. That's the E word, is entitled. You think you deserve it all. And so because I need to have more and I expect to have more, and we've done it to no fault of their own, we've done it. We give out eighth place trophies and you don't ever have to win. And we're like, congratulations, Johnny, here's a trophy. You ran really slow. You get a trophy for that. Great, I don't have to do anything and I get celebrated and I get trophies and all this sort of stuff. I'm entitled to it. I don't live with gratitude that I got anything. I should get it all. And it makes it really tough to come into Jesus and come into the house of the Lord and saying, why isn't he healing me? Why isn't he setting me free? Why isn't he just doing all these like really cool stuff? Like, I lived in debauchery for 40 years. I mean, in a moment, he ought to like do everything. And, you know, it's like, well, maybe. That'd be cool. Maybe he also wants to go on a journey with you for the next 40 years and get you conformed to the image of the Son of God and just slowly produce the life of Christ in you. Who knows? Perhaps God, that he would want to take us on a little bit of a journey here. I've got this illustration that I want to do. Caden, you want to help me? Did you say no?
No.
Yeah, okay, come on. Actually, how about if I just hand you my notes and you preach the rest of the message? You good? I'll do that. You help me with this. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. This, do you know what this is?
It's a ladder.
It's a ladder. Okay. So we need to change this light bulb. I'm going to hold this ladder for you. Yeah. I heard a story, and tell me if you've been here for a while. So Morris, you might have heard this. We did have to change this light bulb like 40 years ago. Is it true that we had like, I don't know if it was trustees or somebody, held a ladder, and Uncle Kenny climbed up the ladder as they were holding it, and they changed the ladder. Is that true? Oh my gosh, that it was confirmed here this morning. Okay, here, I need you to hold this, okay? Just hold this ladder. Okay, so imagine, I don't know what that is, 20 feet, okay? And holding a ladder, and somebody's walking up, Kenny Harold, and they're walking up, and like, trust us, we got you, bro. Can y'all imagine that? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. Okay, so here we go. This ladder right here is my joy, my gratitude. This ladder is what brings me life. I have all my feel goods and things like that. Caden is circumstances. Okay? Caden is cool friends. Caden is Cade is if I get my favorite meal, if my boss likes me, if I get the promotion, and things like that. So take a step back. So all my joy is going to be propped up, and I'm really hoping that my circumstances will be able to hold my joy. Oh, cool, I had my favorite meal. I got some new cool shoes. People liked me. My boss liked me. Oh, I got a cool promotion. My joy is being held up circumstantially. Things are going well for me. So now I'm happy. Until those circumstances don't always match up and they start getting a little wobbly. And they're doing the wobble. And as they're wobbling, no, my joy is crashing. And you're going to take a step back. We practiced this for a long time. And then we go back, and then you take another step back, and then you know what we eventually do is we're going to drop it. Oh, you laid it down softly. All right, so pick it up just about 6 inches, and then just drop it. No, pick it up 6 inches. Now just drop it. Pick it up 6 inches.
Yeah.
Now don't even do that. Just, like, let your fingers back off. There it was. Woo! So then we crash, and it destroys us. Why? Because I'm leaning on, I need all of the good stuff to go right in my life, and then I'll be happy, and then it's completely circumstantial. And I'm being propped up that if good stuff happens, then I'll be happy, then I'll be thankful, then I'll worship, then I'll come into the house of the Lord with joy, then I'll be able to have like good relationships. But if my circumstances like roll out on me, then I'm completely crumbled. Some of y'all know circumstantial worship is not a good approach. Circumstantial thanksgiving is just a bad strategy. Circumstantial joy is the strategy to lose. So here's my circumstances. Okay, go ahead and stand. Yeah, like right there. Here's the better option. Come right here. Remember how we practice?
Yeah.
For my joy to be anchored in something so much higher that overrides all my circumstances to where whether the circumstances go right or not, I'm good. I'm thankful. I'm happy. I'm anchored into something that will never let me down. I'm anchored into something that will never disappoint. I'm anchored into something that never changes, that never moves, that's always good, that's faithful, that's ferociously faithful, that never moves or wavers, that is always consistent in my life. It's the person of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you this, that if you can look at the cross and see what Jesus did on the cross, and you say, I need that, but I also need more. That's cool, but I kind of need some other stuff. If it's ever been that in your heart, and I'll tell you, sometimes I feel like it's there in my heart. It's like, God, I kind of need some other stuff because that wasn't enough. Ooh, I need to check my heart. I need to come back to the center of it all, say, Jesus, you're enough. You're the one thing. Whether I get that breakthrough or not, whether I get the healing or not, whether I get the job or not, whether I get the deal or not, whatever my little deal is, whether that ever happens for me or not, I'm anchored in something so much higher that will never fail. The cross is enough. So we've got to anchor the ladder here and override circumstances. So circumstances come and circumstances go, but it does not affect my ladder at all. Thanks, Kate. You did it, man. Yeah. We're going to change some light bulbs later, so stick around. Perhaps you've been told at some point in your life, like count your blessings. Have you ever seen that? Or maybe your grandmother had that stitched pillow, said count your blessings. Or they had, you know, that's what my grandmother had, like some of those things around to count your blessings. We have the song, Count Your Blessings. And it's easy to dismiss this idea that's just simply just a Christianese thing. But really, to count your blessings, something goes on in our brain. Literally, whenever we move into gratitude, when we move from circumstances weighing us down to getting like this crazy kingdom meta, like the meta game is at another level of understanding with the heart of the Lord, the mind of God. The brain starts dumping certain endorphins into our brain. It's the good chemicals. It's the good feels. It's the serotonin. It's the oxytocin. It's the feel good. I'm kind of feeling a little love. I'm feeling excitement, and I'm feeling some energy stuff happening. And here's what starts to happen into our brain. We literally can rewrite some of the neurological pathways in our brain. Let me just tell you this. Let's say that I'm at my house, and we just had like a really strong Indiana snow like back in the 80s, okay? It hasn't snowed here in a few years. So back in the 80s, okay? I had one of those big snows, but I got to get over to my barn. So I got to walk. And every time my foot is pounding into the snow, it's leaving a foot print, impression, mark, okay? And now I know how to get to my barn. There's a little bit of a path. And now I want to go back home. It's very crunchy snow. And I make my way back. But I need to get another tool, and I go back and forth. And before long, I've created a pathway. And all the other snow is high, but this pathway has been really well worn out. And I know how to get from here to here. And so there's only one path in my entire yard. I can't get to the garage. I can't get to the mailbox. I can't really get anywhere else. All I have access to is getting to the barn. In the same way in our brain is when we just go back to same situational things, like this is how it always happens. This is my move. This is my move. This is what I do. As we create these neurological pathways into our brain, and so we know, man, a bummer happened. The only way I know to respond to a bummer is I whine and I cry and I get on Facebook and then I start telling everybody and then I and that's what I do and then I come back and I just have one way. I don't know how to do anything else. And you've got to fight to get that leg. I got to create a different way. I cannot just be conformed to this way of the world. I've got to be transformed with the renewing of my mind. I've got to get my mind in a different place. And I got to start getting a different pathway because this one isn't working. Negativity and crying and whining about it, that's just a strategy for losing. And I've got to start moving forward. I got to get some different paths here. And I'll just tell you, one of the biggest baller moves is gratitude. You know what? All of this bummer just happened. He's good. I'm going to worship. I'm just going to show the enemy, because there is an enemy that's trying to divide my heart right now. And he's trying to typecast God as the bad guy. And he's trying to deceive me. And he's trying to lie to me. And I'm just going to find joy. I'm going to come to him. I'm going to come into the presence where there's fullness of joy. At his right hand, there is pleasure forevermore. I got to go in a different direction. This old way of thinking does not work. I got to get a new path. I got to get a new way to get there. I'll tell you this. What if gratitude is one of those, it's a weapon to fight with? I'll tell you, it's hard to have anxiety and gratitude at the same time going on inside of you. It's like, gosh, I'm good. He's good. I'm thankful. Oh, he's awesome. The cross is more than enough. Are you kidding me? Oh, it's more than enough. I'm good. I'm not freaking out. He's for me. He's not against me. And we start speaking to ourselves. We start coaching ourselves. A couple ways to kind of get some disciplines of gratitude are this: to keep a gratitude journal, to wake up in the morning and just write down what you're thankful for. Usually by about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, I get an email from Joyce Hostetler. It says, here's 10 things that make me smile. 10 every day. Isn't that wild? It's like 3,650. Move the zero in the decibel. It's a lot of thankful things that like really make her heart happy throughout the day. And she's like, this time I'm going to start my day, and I'm going to let everybody know. And she sends it out to people. It's just a quick little thing. It's a gratitude journal is one. And just within a few days, our hearts start getting this chemical dump of joy and stuff. And believe it or not, work performance goes up. Relationships get better because you're no longer in a mood. Anybody ever wake up next to your spouse and they want to play that game called Guess What Mood I Am In Today? And you always lose that game because you never can quite figure out. Gratitude is a good tool. It's never happened in our marriage, thankfully. Share your gratitude with others is another one, just to be thankful and to share that with someone else. How about this? Come to your senses. Just your sensories. Just be in the moment. Like, man, what am I feeling right now? Man, just the cool outside, the breeze. I'm feeling that it's 100 degrees in the sanctuary right now. I'm feeling the sounds, that whatever. You know, I'm just kind of, I'm in my senses. I'm just aware of the moment. Rather than all of the bummers, I'm just thankful for my life. And then this one, watch your language. Especially if you kind of tend to be a negative person. Just be aware of that. How often you speak the bummers. How often you talk about everybody's against you. How often that's the thing that's coming out of your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth is speaking. There's a couple guys that had a similar situation that happened to them. They went in very different directions. David Mustaine, have you heard of this guy? He was a musician that played for Metallica. This was one of the heavy metal rock bands, okay? So here he is, and he was kicked out of the band Metallica. One of the reasons was because they were concerned that he was drinking too much. Now, I don't know how you can drink too much in the 80s and play and say, like, hey, you're too much for Metallica, bro. We can't hardly handle you. But they wanted to get him some help and do some other things. They're just like, you're just wild. We need to kind of move on without you. So he goes out, and with a dinged up heart, he says, watch me. I'm frustrated, and I'm ticked off, and I'm angry. And he goes, I'm going to go out and start my own band. And he starts a band by the name of Megadeth. Megadeth goes on to have tons of hits. They sold something like 10 million albums or something, you know, 20 million albums, something crazy like that. They got one of their records got all the way to number 2 on the Billboard charts, second to Metallica. He was always coming in second. Metallica goes on to become one of the greatest as far as records sales. Hundreds of millions of album sales. And it always just sat in him. Angry, bitter, frustrated, got fired, lost my job, didn't get the deal, didn't get on and on and on, and could easily finger point. There was another little band that came along the way. Perhaps you've heard of this one. The name is The Beatles. Anybody ever hear of this one? They had a drummer by the name of Pete Best. Pete Best was the drummer. You might think, no, the drummer was Ringo Starr. Not to begin with. The drummer was Pete Best, and here he is right here. He's the guy in the front. And he gets kicked out of the Beatles. They bring in Ringo Starr. Probably not a bad move, right? They probably made a good hire there on that one. Pete Best goes on and lives the rest of his life, and no one even knows about him. He lives quiet. He gets married, has a few kids, and just lives happy and content. And whenever they interview him later, he goes, I'm thankful that I didn't have to travel around. I didn't lose my marriage. I built a relationship with my children. I didn't miss out. And you think, man, one was so embittered by the circumstances, and the other one was so, like, circumstances don't move me. I'm going to find my life, and it's going to be good. I'll tell you, gratitude is the game. It is the ball game. It is it. Because your circumstances aren't always going to be awesome. But it's fighting for gratitude in the midst of them. Just yesterday, Alyssa and I, we go hunting. And we're out here with one of our buddies, and we're out there before the sun. And I'll tell you this, I've been hunting now for about 4 years, and I've seen one deer. It's lonely. I'm not sure if it's the Axe body spray I put on before I go out there, or if I'm listening to podcasts too loud when I'm sitting out there, or what it is. But I'm sitting out there, and we're not out there maybe an hour. And in walks this big buck. I'm like, oh my gosh. This is it. This is the moment. This is what you want. This is what you're living for. So connect with me around this, okay? It's energy. It's excitement. It's this moment where I've been waiting. I've been like in this. Come on. So gets up. And it's not like it's super close. It's probably 250 yards away. But I think I can do this. I got a shot. So my buddy, he lets out the little stopper call. Buck turns and looks. Turns. He goes back the opposite direction and he's eating. So he was like this. Stops, comes back, and then he's just kind of like looking at me. And so I go for it. Pow! And as I'm looking, I kind of lose it, and I see him jump up and take off. That's not a good thing. Shot just high, just over him. And I'm like, but no, this was my moment. And I'm laying on the ground, and we're kind of like in this tree area. I'm like, no. And he's gone. I'm like, okay, Jesus, please, like, let me have got him. But it is like, wasn't like a kill shot, but he'll eventually die later, and I'll get him. And I'm just like pleading with the heavens, like, please, make the circumstances how I want them to be, okay? I don't have to be awesome. Just make everything happen for me. I want an eighth place trophy right now, Jesus, okay? I didn't win, but I want the trophy. I want the rack hanging in my office. And man, like disappointment setting in. The bummer is setting in. The like, oh, how much work do I have to put in and just not attain and not get and on and on and on. I had to wrestle. And even now, it's not like, hey, you're all good. And you're like, past the disappointment. No, it's still disappointing. That's a bummer. But I had to start coaching myself. And immediately I go, Jesus, I have a wife that wants to do this with me, and she's out here. This is cool. I got a buddy that wants to be in this with me. Man, I'm thankful that I have the opportunity. And I just start coaching my brain, start coaching my mind. Be thankful. Even when it's not always awesome, he's still good. He's still faithful. He still walks you through. This just happened. Alyssa was doing a photo shoot. She was taking the pictures for the Madison Grant Youth Basketball League. She pulls out this camera. Okay? She's got the equipment. She's got everything that she needs. She's got the stuff. Parents are looking to her. You're going to create a lifetime memory for my children's basketball career because one day they're going to the NBA and we want this one moment captured. So as she's standing there getting ready to capture these moments and create memories that last a lifetime, this is her remote flash. And as she goes to snap the picture, the remote flash doesn't go off. Oh, that's all right. Let me check it out. Let's do this again. Okay, this is not working. Let's do it again. Let's put the camera down. Let's go over all of our batteries. Let's go over all of our plugins. Let's go over. Not good. This is not good. And wrestling through it and going from that, I got to figure this out, to where I'm not going to figure this out. It's just not working. This light is not working. And this is a bummer, and there's expectation, and I'm not meeting them, and then she's got to immediately, like, it is a fight. Get back here, brain. We're going to go on a different path, because the path is easy frustration, easy anger, easy blame shifting, easy finger pointing. Why do my kids have my computer and left it on, and now it's dead, or my phone, and right? She goes, nope. She comes back. She goes, God, I thank you that I have this camera. I thank you that I have this light. I thank you that I have Photoshop and I can go in later and make them all look awesome. I thank you that I can, and she has to immediately start coaching her. I'm thankful that I get to do this with Carla. That was one of the things. I'm just thankful that Carla's in the room. Man, when Carla's in the room, it's just more fun. Thank you, God, that Brooke Presnell's in the room. I just get to do it with some of my friends. And you got to start coaching, right? Your mind quickly to get back into gratitude. James chapter 1, starting in verse 2, it says this. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith, it produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Could I say it this way, not to mock or to make fun of anybody, but the Bible uses this word as maturity. To not think this way, could we just say that would be immaturity? It's just immature. And immaturity just simply means it's not fully developed. It's underdeveloped. To think less than this, it's just an underdeveloped brain, heart, emotional stability, emotional strength. It's just not fully developed. But to be fully developed would say, man, the trials that I'm going through, I count them as joy because they're going to produce something deeper in me, like perseverance. Let's hang in the game. Let's go for it again. I got what it takes. Let's get up and do it again. Well, come on, here we go. And it says it's producing something greater in you. Even whenever it's lonely, even when it's a bummer, he's more committed to you looking like him than he is to you getting a cool picture or getting a buck or getting a whatever it is that you're after. Ultimately, he's going to conform you to the image of his son. And that's good. It's a good thing, man. In Psalm chapter 9, verse 1, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all of my heart. I will tell of all of your wonderful deeds. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Even God lays out some protocol. When you approach me, when you come into to my courts, you better come in with thanksgiving. Interesting, huh? When you come into to my presence, come with a happy heart. Come in here and be worshipful, thankful. Don't come in here pointing your fingers at me. Come in here bowing and bending low with humility and with honor and with worship before you. I'll wrap with this. There's a man about 150 years ago by the name of Horatio Spafford. Horatio Spafford, the year is 1871, and the Chicago Fire had just happened. This is a pretty successful businessman who had built up a big business, and the Chicago Fire comes in and wipes out a lot of the city. 2 years later, he and some of his business buddies and their families said, you know what, we just need a break. We want to go on a vacation. So they're going to do a European vacation. And so they're going to get on a ship and set sail to go to Europe. Last minute, Horatio's not able to go on this trip and sends his family, his wife and his four daughters, onto this boat to go to Europe. On November 21st, so in 2 days, it'll mark 150 years. Their boat runs into a British boat. And the two boats hit each other, immediately sinking Horatio Spafford's family. His wife is found later clinging, unconscious, and clinging to a piece of driftwood from the ship, while his four daughters' bodies are sinking to the bottom of the ocean. It wasn't for about 12 days later that she finally gets to Europe that she's able to send a little telegram note back. And she says this, safe, alone, what shall I do? He gets this news, he hops on a boat, sets sail for Europe. As they're moving across the waters, the captain of the ship says, Mr. Spafford, we're about to pass over the waters where your daughters lay. If you want to, you can come up here, you can be with me, and we can pass through these waters together. As they come up here and as they're going through this part of the ocean, something hits his heart. And it wasn't whining, and it wasn't complaining, and it wasn't blaming God. But he begins to pen these words, and he writes this. He says, when peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrow like the sea billows roll. Whatever my lot, whatever the circumstances, whatever happens in life, whatever hits the fan, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. To the core, deep being of who I am, I have learned. If we would have written this song today, we would have said, it is all good in my soul. All is well. All is well. It's not circumstantial. All is well. He then goes on and he writes this, though Satan should buffet, and though the trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and hath shed his own blood for my soul. He immediately has to go to the cross. It's about the blood of Jesus. He's good. He's faithful. The sea billows are rolling in life, but I'm fixed on the cross. I've got my gaze set somewhere else. I've fixed my eyes to the hill where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I'm dialed in. I've got my eyes set on something much higher. I'm anchored into something much higher, something much bigger. I'm not anchored into whether the ship can last or whether the trials will come. Man, I'm anchored in, and he's good, and he's faithful, and I enter into his courts with thanksgiving. I come before him with praise. There is a way that we approach this God. You know, we might even say, well, that's great, Horatio. He worked through it, and then life became all good. Nope. A few years later, they get pregnant, and they have a son. After 4 years, he was pretty pumped to get a boy. It didn't last long. At 4 years old, his son passes away. It was loss of business. It's loss of children after child after child after circumstances. It's a life of devastation. And his response is, I'm good. It's going to be good. All is well. Y'all, that's a baller approach. That's somebody that's gotten caught up in another realm. They've connected with something where it's not circumstantial anymore. They are anchored into something so much greater and so much higher. I don't know what you're working through right now. I don't know what you're walking through. I don't know how hard it's been. But negativity is not the answer. It's got to be driven hard out of you, and it's got to be moved into with gratitude, with praise, with worship. When you hit the deck and you stop grading God's paper and you hit the deck humbly and we worship, it as well. It is well. When the trials will come, when the sea billows roll, it is well. It is well. And we worship from that place. Right now, let's go before the Lord. Let's take our hearts before God. Let's take our hearts before a God who's good, who's faithful. Bring all your disappointment right now before him. Bring all of the hurt, bring all of the loss right now before him. Just tell him, Jesus, this one hurt. This one stung big time, Jesus. I'm sucking wind right now. And even if you need to, the altar's open. If you want to come down and just bow and bend before the Lord, feel the freedom. But bring your heart before Jesus. And Jesus, will you help us be like the leper who returns back to worship? God, let us be a thankful church. Let us be a thankful bride. Bring that hurt and disappointment before the Lord. He wants to heal us up. He wants to heal his bride this morning. Jesus, we honor you. We thank you. We thank you that you're bigger than the circumstance. You're bigger than the pain. You're bigger than the loss. God, I pray that we would be strong. Strengthen us. God, I pray that we would be mature. Come on, Jesus. Get us mature. Develop us. Grow us. That we move into trials with joy. We move into hardships with gratitude. That we see the cross above all things. That we're anchored in you. We honor you, Lord. We celebrate you today. And with thankful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.